It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Conversations about money are never easy. They're especially difficult in the workplace when it comes to negotiating your salary. This month, independent career consultant Sasha King guides us through the do's and don'ts of salary negotiation. Sasha King, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Maximize your leverage, how to negotiate your salary. This is something that a lot of people think about but don't necessarily know how to do. And you say most people know that they should negotiate with their employer, but the question is, how do you prepare for a salary negotiation? What advice do you have?
The first step is determine your budget. You want to track your monthly expenses. One of the things I usually advise my clients to do is go to something like Mint.com or Learnvis, which is an online calculator that determines your budget. The second thing you really need to think about is your market value. So I recommend that most people need to really go use a salary calculator. I like PayScale or Salary.com to determine how much their skill set is really considered worth. You also want to check that information up against two things. One, how much your salary is worth in your city, or your position rather, or how much your position is possibly worth, or the salary ranges within a position. Glassdoor.com salary feature is fantastic for that. And the last thing I always tell people to take care of account when it comes to that part is the state of your industry. You can go get labor market information in at Career One Stop to help you with that.
So it's important to know the going rate for what you do.
You absolutely should always know this. I mean, one of the things I've always done every year, every time I've had a certification or another year of experience, I always go to those resources to determine how much I'm worth, because if I need to possibly negotiate for more salary, or if, say, God forbid, I lose my job, I need to know how much I can ask for in the open market. When I'm also asking for information about the open market and how much I can ask for with my company in terms of compensation, I also look at the financial health of my company. So I'll read the annual report. Are we having a good year? Or are we having a bad year? That's going to let me know whether or not I can really negotiate at this point in time for an increased salary, or I might just be able to get some kind of benefit like flex time.
Is it harder to negotiate at a time when we're still recovering from the recession? Jobs aren't bouncing back the way they were prior to 2008. And so is it possible for a person to be worried about their job, or should they be concerned about perhaps being replaced if they ask for too much money?
One of the things I usually tell people, and this is part of salary negotiation, is don't be greedy. Keep in mind that this is a rough economy. So while it's good to ask for money, it may not be a situation where you can only ask for the top salary range for a position in your field. So you have to take those things into account. However, if your company is doing well financially, please consider taking the time to actually negotiate your salary.
So what should you do if the salary offered is unacceptable?
Well, if only the top range of the salary is acceptable, you want to thank the employer for the offer and emphasize that your research indicates that perhaps the upper range of the salary is really important for you at this time. Be noncommittal, understand and explain to them that you would really love to work for the company. However, you're going to look at the entire package and indicate that other companies have expressed an interest in paying you in that range. This is something that's a really big issue for my higher end employees, because they have a problem with, okay, we can't afford to pay you as much, but we want that skill set. Everyone should have a dollar amount where they're going to say, okay, I can negotiate this, or, wow, this is just too low. They can't afford me. I need to walk.
And what are the rules of engagement? For example, one of the things that, and I don't know if it's urban legend or, you know, one of those wives' tales that people shouldn't subscribe to, but you're always told, or there's a belief that, you go into a negotiation asking for more than you expect to get.
That is true. But before that, there are two things you want to keep in mind.
Okay.
One of the things that employers are liking to do is they want to check on that initial phone screen. What is the salary that you'll accept? What you want to do is, if it is possible, avoid the salary question during a phone screen and try to delay the salary question to the end of your interview, so that way that helps you better prepare for any situations that you may have. So it's usually the best idea to let them bring up the issue. Ask questions first about how much the company is budgeted for this position. That's going to let you know if you have possibly overshot your mark. Talk about the skills you contribute to the company and the mission's bottom line. Watch your body language. This is a huge one for women. Don't blink or fidget when the salary is offered, because that really gives your opposing, you know, side an upper hand.
That might be hard to avoid doing, though.
It's one of the things it's something I'll mention a little later. You should actually practice your salary negotiation with other people before you get in front of the people you're going to negotiate your salary with. It's always a smart thing to do. Recognize the job market requires you to be reasonable. So negotiate for 10% more, but don't balk if you get 5% more instead. Also, be prepared with other options. Can you take less money for added benefits like flex time, matching 401k? And make sure you get that offer in writing. Don't assume that verbal contract will be offered, which is one of the big mistakes that women make when they are negotiating salary. They do not get whatever they were agreed to in writing.
And we'll get to what women need to do in negotiations. But first, how should long-term employees negotiate salary and benefits? You've been there a long time. You're feeling, geez, I need to be rewarded, but you don't want to walk in there with a chip on your shoulder, do you?
No. So there are one of the things you want to take care of is what it's all in the timing. Is there the company, the state, to be offering raise and benefits? And I'll go one step further. There are times that it's smarter to mention it. If we have a really good year and we're making a lot of money, this is a good time to mention a raise. If you're going through a performance evaluation, you've had an exceptional and stellar year, that's another good time to mention it. You also want to assess your achievements in the past year. What did you accomplish? Make sure you quantify your results. Who is on your side? One of the things that you may need is you may need another person or authority figure within a company to advocate and say, you know what, this person, Jennifer's been doing a lot of really good work. And, you know, maybe she came in when we were hiring in a bad economy. She's not making as much. You know, we don't want to lose Jennifer. Let's go ahead and offer a little more to keep her around. And then also indicate how getting this extra money or benefits will improve your daily performance for the company. When you're asking for more money, you still have to keep the company's bottom line and what you can contribute to them in mind.
So just bring like a little tray with your awards in with you.
I wouldn't go that far.
Put those on the desk.
But, you know, writing those down and keeping those things in mind is generally a good idea.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with independent career consultant Sasha King, making her monthly visit. Now let's get to women in the workplace. Research shows women do not negotiate salaries or benefits, resulting in a substantial salary gap between the sexes. What tips can you give us to help women negotiate?
Well, I mentioned a little earlier that you have to do your research, but instead of it just being about your salary, you need to keep every piece of positive feedback you received from your company. Women who come in with that kind of information plus quantifiable results have an easier time negotiating a higher salary, especially during performance reviews, according to studies. Other things that are helpful is making sure, when I mentioned a little earlier about having people support your work, women cannot really come across and say, you know what, this is what I've accomplished in the year, and aren't I fabulous? No, you want to encourage clients to write positive reviews and have other supervisors endorse. Now, going back to that statement I made earlier, a woman cannot come into a workplace setting and say, oh, gee, these are all the things I've accomplished.
Men do that.
Yes, but women, what we were finding, Linda Babcock and other people have done some really wonderful studies. If a woman does that, there's a word, like I mentioned earlier in the confidence gap presentation, that gets used to describe her. So she has to have someone else advocate for her and talk about her accomplishments in order to have the same effect.
That really doesn't sound fair.
Oh, life isn't fair.
So you're saying just accept, you know, realize what you're dealing with and act accordingly?
Sometimes you really might want to do that. I mean, you could try to buck the trends, but what we're finding out about leaning in is it really is not always as effective. There was a very famous case of a philosophy professor who did, you know, a typical male version of a negotiation where she, you know, these are my accomplishments. These are because of these accomplishments. These are the demands I have, which weren't unreasonable. She wanted a little more pay and she wanted some flex time. And she was hoping for some maternity leave, which are all normal things. And they rescinded the job offer.
Wow.
So women really can't necessarily go in and negotiate the same way a man can when they negotiate their salaries or benefits. One of the other things that women really need to do is go beyond calculators. Women need to use recruiters and men of their industry to get the real numbers and what they're worth. The reason why is salary calculators are really useful to a degree, but the higher up in echelon you go in terms of prestige in your industry, you need to find out what the other people, your peer group, are getting paid. When you only talk to other women, you're dealing with a subset that's already paid a little bit less anyway. By talking to men, you get a much better understanding of what your skills really may be worth.
And have a much better chance of reducing the wage gap.
Right. Well, not only that, what's even better part is what we're finding is recruiters are actually a really wonderful tool to help women make more money in terms of negotiation in this way. Recruiters are helpful because, one, they can give women information about how much their skills are really worth in the open market. But two, one of the things that several women have done is they've asked a recruiter who's possibly interested in their skills, who wants to steal them away from a company, and they give them, you know, these are your benefits, and, you know, they offer the benefits and they offer the salary. So before the woman leaves the company, especially if she likes working for them, she can use that as leverage to say, this is what someone on the open market thinks I'm worth, they're willing to take me away, and if you like my work experience, possibly, you know, maybe we can negotiate. So the other thing is, the last thing on this one, is women have to do negotiation in person for almost anything. If a woman tries to negotiate via email and without using her interpersonal skills, it is works against her. Because you have to be slightly feminine in an interview, women really do need to do it in person. What I recommend to all women is to actually look at the New York Times Guide to Salary Negotiation. And they actually have little podcasts where they show women doing positive things that help them gain credence and negotiations. And so it's one of the things they also say is, please, women, because we have less of a history of negotiation, spend time with a couple other people rehearsing your negotiation, the questions and what could go wrong and what can go well ahead of time before you do the actual negotiation.
And wouldn't it work the same way for men? Wouldn't men need to be negotiating in person as well?
Yes, men need to negotiate in person, but one of the things that we are finding is that men can actually take care of some of these things either via email or phone call, and they will have the same traction as a woman doing it in person.
Last but not least, what should you do if an initial negotiation meeting doesn't work in your favor?
So if you don't succeed, try again, but try these things. Gather more information. One of the failures that I've seen a lot of people doing negotiations is they come in like rookies. They don't bring in research. They don't bring in accomplishments. They ask for things without thinking these things through. The second thing you want to think in is rally around the troops. You need to pitch your idea toward people who will support it, who can critique it ahead of time to see also if you can get allies to get this passed or gone. If you want something to make it work, brainstorm with that person on a way to making that work. So, okay, I would like to get paid a higher salary, and I'm also bringing in 30% more business, so you can afford to pay me more because of that extra business I'm bringing in. Another thing, the last thing I usually tell people, if you think that no matter what you've done, you've been a good employee for a long period of time, and they're just not going to willing to give you any more compensation, consider looking for another job. After a certain point, you cannot afford to invest your life, your energy, and career in people that do not promote you, either in terms of promotions or finances.
Hear, hear. Sasha King is an independent career consultant. If you have a workplace question for her, send us an email at esspgh@wesa.fm with the subject line "on the job." Sasha King, as always, a pleasure. We'll see you next month.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.